Welcome back to Through the Word. Chase Acuna here, and today we jump into chapter 12. So what has been the greatest gift you've ever received? That's actually a pretty hard question to answer personally, but two of the most memorable as a kid were the original Power Rangers Megazord given to me by my grandparents, or when my mom and dad had set up a martial arts gym overnight in the garage with mats, mirrors, punching bags, and a speed bag. So after all the carnality of the previous chapters, Paul is ready to move on to better things. And spiritual gifts is always an amazing truth to dive into. So Paul is going to spend the next three chapters revealing the truth about these gifts to us. Verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Growing up in the church, I've visited and been to a full range of different kinds of churches, from Pentecostal congregations to the most stoic of congregations. I've also seen in my experience some church communities that had pretty unbalanced views or practices when it came to the gifts. Maybe you can relate. I can also tell you that our past experiences can at times result in a bad or misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. So maybe it's easy for you to dismiss the use of these gifts because you look for a rational, materialistic explanation for everything. Or perhaps you see spiritual gifts behind all sorts of phenomena and fall into a near superstition with your views. Over the next few chapters, Paul is going to sort out some of these issues and also explain the truth about spiritual gifts. Verse 4, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So Paul is about to name 9 gifts here, but this list isn't exhaustive. There are other lists of spiritual gifts sprinkled throughout the scriptures. Actually, a friend of mine once knew of a pastor who used to start his teaching on spiritual gifts way back in Exodus, with the gift of craftsmanship given to Bezalel and Aholiab for the building of the tabernacle. Now, there are a lot of spiritual gifts, just as there are a lot of ways to serve and a lot of works that can be done. But they all have the same Spirit as their source. God displays his miraculous power in a variety of ways, but it's always the same God who's at work in believers. And so here's the big problem when it comes to the gifts. It's easy for believers to be focused on their own gifts and believe that those who have different gifts are not as holy or maybe not working for God enough. But take note that God is the one who distributes the gifts. And there are reasons for the diversity of gifts. Verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Here's an important truth. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised in John 14 that he would send the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. But there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests himself in our lives in a more apparent way. The gifts that he pours out on us are for the profit of all believers and are meant to point to the glory of God. So every believer has spiritual gifts and they're for the church as a whole. So these gifts aren't for one's own benefit. We can't be selfish with these gifts. They're to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. This is actually one of the most important reasons Christians must gather together. When we gather, we're all supposed to use our gifts for the building up of the church. The Bible doesn't describe the church as a group that gathers primarily to be fed from a pulpit. It describes a family that serves each other. You may be built up by a pastor using his gift of teaching, but how are you using your gifts to build up the church? Verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. So Paul begins his list of gifts with messages of wisdom. This is the unique ability to speak the wisdom of God, especially in critical situations. Paul uses this gift before the Sanhedrin in Acts 23. The second gift Paul mentions is messages of knowledge. This is the unique ability to speak a truth that could only be revealed by God. In Acts 27, Paul uses this gift when revealing that the ship he was on was about to crash. The next gift is something that all believers have, but some seem to have it in abundance. Faith, which is the ability to trust God in all circumstances, such as Peter did when he walked out of the boat onto the stormy sea towards Jesus. Then follow the gifts of healing and miracles. These often operate in conjunction with the gift of faith. When God gives a person the faith to perform these great works, they're able to go forth in powerful displays of God's power. Paul ends with a series of gifts dealing with speech, prophecy, discerning of spirits, and tongues. Prophecy is often confused with preaching, but the word here is used for divinely inspired speech, not the gift of preaching, where the word of God is taught carefully and methodically. These words of prophecy instead are God's messages in particular situations, always in accordance with his word and with his work in the church. Discerning spirits is the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine, between what is from the spirit and what is from the world, the flesh, or the devil. Satan can work miracles and sound very persuasive, so the gift of discernment is useful in knowing the difference. The last two gifts deal with tongues, both speaking in tongues and their interpretation. Tongues are a personal prayer language whereby the believer can communicate with God beyond our mind's understanding. These two gifts are probably the most misunderstood and misused of the gifts. Tongues have an important place in the prayer life of a believer, but are not as important in corporate settings as other gifts. When the gift of tongues is used in a church setting, it must be closely controlled and only when there's someone with the gift of interpretation present so that all can be built up. We'll spend some more time with this gift in chapter 14. Again, this is not an exhaustive list of gifts, and Paul's emphasis isn't even on the gifts themselves. Verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. So 6 times in the short list, the Spirit of God is mentioned. It's important that we remember the centrality of the Spirit here, because it's so easy to become divided over these gifts. We can often fall into the trap of thinking that certain gifts are given because a person is particularly spiritual, or maybe because they're closer to God. Tongue speakers can look down on those who prophesy, and those who heal can look down on those with other gifts. But if all these gifts are from the same Lord and all have a unity of purpose, the building of the body of Christ and God's glory, then we should reflect that same unity among ourselves. This is why spiritual gifts are never given as criteria for positions of leadership in the church, but maturity and character are. God can grant anyone spiritual gifts at any moment, but character is built over time. And unfortunately, too many of us have probably experienced the reality that one's giftedness doesn't always mean the same thing as their maturity. So Paul spends the rest of the chapter comparing the body of Christ with the physical body. Just as the body is made up of different parts that all work together, so the body of Christ should work together with all of our different gifts, talents, and abilities to further the good news about Jesus. Also, if you've ever had any type of injury before, no matter where it is, when it's there, you begin to realize that every single part of your body really is needed. That's it for today. Go read 1 Corinthians 12 and join us tomorrow for one of the most famous chapters in the entire Bible on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.